Perhaps many of you have already thrown away the Christmas tree and all the decorations because you can't take it anymore. Some people, yes, their lights in their homes, they don't bother, you know, to light them anymore because they light them perhaps in the beginning of November. So I would be tired if I had started with everything at the beginning of November after 2 months. But indeed, the joy in the church has started just a week ago. We're still celebrating the joy of Christmas. Christmas is one of the two celebrations a year. We have that also in Easter, which is the major of all the celebrations, that we celebrate what we call the octave, you know, for 8 days, the whole week. We continue to celebrate as if we were still on Christmas Day, as if time, if we could stop time, and for 8 days we would be celebrating that joy. And concluding this week of celebrations, the octave of Christmas, we have the celebration of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. You know, it's not too long ago that this celebration has been established as a solemnity in the church. Maybe sometime in the 60s. Before that, mostly this date, talking of January 1st, would be considered a devotional feast to the holy name of Jesus, because that's what we heard in the gospel. 8 days after his birth, according to the Gospel of Luke, he was presented and was named Jesus. That was the day for the circumcision, that when he would become sealed and part of the people of God, the Hebrew people. The name of Jesus, which was given by the angel both, you know, to Joseph and Mary, it would be Jesus, is how we pronounce it. It would be the Yeshua, that is very close to Joshua, but Yeshua. And the meaning is the Lord is salvation. The very name for the Hebrew people, name that was given to a child, it was supposed to mean also a very important role in the child, in the person's life as well. And here we have the Lord indeed as our salvation. And as we celebrate the Mother of God, I said that the solemnity of celebrating on this January 1st is not too old, but the celebration of the Mother of God, yes, that is from at least the 3rd century of our faith, when early 4th century was declared the dogma of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos. And as we are invited the first day of the year to look at Mary in the whole mystery of the incarnation of our Lord, the Word of God that became one of us, no doubt that at the center of everything is Mary. And there are four, I would say, great moments in Mary's life that I would like just to mention here, because those are the attitudes that we are called perhaps to imitate, to take to our hearts, because devotion can lead us to recite prayers, novenas, the rosary, which can indeed bring us closer to Mary, and through Mary, closer to Jesus. But they need to be accompanied. They need to be together with our actions. The best devotion of all, I would say, is to imitate her virtues. And the four great moments that I want to mention is The moment when Mary said yes to God, when the angel Gabriel came and announced the Annunciation, announced that she would be the mother of God's only Son. And she did say, "I am the servant, the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to God's will." And in Latin, they say that's the moment of the fiat of Mary, the yes, the, when she accepted that. The second great moment of Mary's life that we can find in the Gospels, and you know, I believe can help us, is when she visited Elizabeth, her relative, and she sang a beautiful hymn that we call the Magnificat. You know, and she, in that hymn, she recognized, you know, she shows her strength and her courage to believe in God and recognize that the Almighty has done great things through her. Not because she wants to be, you know, so full of herself, but trusting that God is the one acting in her. That's beautiful and the Magnificat. The other great moments, you know, we heard in today's Gospels when it says that Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. It's not the only mention. And when she presented Jesus to the temple, and Simeon also mentioned, and you know, a spear will pierce your heart. She kept that in her heart. In yesterday's gospel, when she found Jesus when he was 12 in the temple, and she kept everything in her heart. So, in Latin, and pardon my Latin, those of you who understand Latin, because my Latin is, I wouldn't say it's no good, I would say it's non-existent, but they call it, but I want to impress, so I'll try to say it. You know, the conservabat, I mean, to keep, you know, conserve, you know, to keep in her heart everything, meditating in God's words. That's the third of the great moments in Mary's life. And the fourth one that I want to mention is Stabat in Latin. Maybe we are more familiar. Holy Week, when we sing Stabat Mater, one of the hymns that we use, and it means, and refers to the, you know, exactly to having her, you know, pierced her heart as sorrow for the death of Jesus. Yet, most important than the sorrow is that she remained faithful to the end, standing, not despairing, but standing at the foot of the cross. Four moments in Jesus, in Mary's life. Her yes, her recognition of God's strength and the courage that the Almighty had done great things, and her service going to Elizabeth, her keeping in her heart everything that was happening, the wonder that God was working in history, and she was assimilating God's words in her own life and being faithful to the end. I guess that can help us also to imitate her in her life and put into our lives the devotion that we praise and try to praise every day. Now, January 1st also, since January 1st, 1968, has become the World Day of Prayer, or the World Day of Peace. And the one who initiated that was Pope Paul VI, St. Paul VI now. And on a beautiful letter that he wrote, inviting not only the Church, the Catholics worldwide, but also the nations, the institutions, the different people of any faith to join in recognizing as a day of peace, so that we begin the civil year believing and working for that peace. In the letter he wrote, he began the letter saying, We address ourselves to all men of goodwill to exhort them to celebrate the day of peace throughout the world on the first day of the year, January 1st, in that case, 1968. It is our desire that then every year this commemoration be repeated as a hope and as a promise. At the beginning of the calendar, which measures and outlines the path of human life in time, that peace, with its just and beneficent equilibrium, may dominate the development of events to come. That peace may dominate events to come. We wish so many good things, and usually we say, you know, peace, the new year. Peace is believing that the joy that we celebrate can be shared with the world. But peace is only possible when we see every person, everyone in the world, independent of their color, their race, their language, their culture, whether they speak the same word as we do, with the same accent as we do. If we believe we're all created, and we do, as God's children, in His image and likeness, then when we treat the other person in that way, we will be building peace. Peace unites us, will put us together. Today is a moment of looking back, being the last day of the year, and looking back with thanksgiving. Each one of us will know what we've been through this year. Some good surprises, perhaps some hard time. Perhaps we lost someone that we loved. Who knows, so many things have happened. But it's a moment to look with thanksgiving. But it's a moment to entrust to God also our future and what it reserves. It is up to God's grace, and it is also up to our openness to that same grace that our year will be indeed happy, joyful, full of peace. In what depends from God, I'm sure it will be a graceful year. Let us open our hearts as Mary did and welcome that grace every day, every moment. A blessed new year to all of you.